And I want you to go to 1 Samuel. Now, we've been dealing with questions, and what I'm going to do, we will deal the question, and the answer to the question is the heart of all that's going on in the chapter. But I want to say this, my text won't be the question, though the question deals with the text or the thought. I have a thought that I want to give to you, and I want you to see it. Turn with me now. Let's go let's start at 1 Samuel 15. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to read some verses. Then I want you to hold your text because I want you to move with me when I move, all right? But look at 1 Samuel 15, verse number 10. I want you to just look at the context of everything going on. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, move on to verse 22. We'll see the question here. That's the center of all. By the way, how many agree with me that his obedience is better than sacrifice? God wants you to obey. If you obey, you'll sacrifice. Somebody help me preach. Now look at this verse. And Samuel said, here's the question. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What a question. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's strong, isn't it? If you're a rebel tonight, it is as the sin of witchcraft. We all agree witchcraft's awful. But I want you to know disobedience and rebellion is right side by side with witchcraft. That's what the Bible said. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Now go to one more verse and hold your chapter open, because I'll be dealing with chapter 16 also. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, now look here, it started out like this, and it's ending the chapter like this. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. What a passage. Now here's the thought tonight within the thought, Chad. I'm going to be preaching tonight on this subject. When life doesn't go according to plan. Are you with me? When life doesn't go according to plan. Now, in our passage, God is getting ready to put Saul aside. And what God is getting ready to do is something new. Or another plan. Somebody help me preach right there. Because of Saul's disobedience, all this happened to everybody. Now, we all have a plan for our life. Boy, we all had this plan. Man, we got a beautiful house, picket fence, everything wonderful, drinking lemonade and having a good time. Oh, we can. We had dreams and plans, and we've all planned. Somebody help me here. I'm going somewhere and you're going to like it when I get there. see, Samuel's plan, now let me tell you, Samuel's plan was that Saul would be the man. That was his plan. That's what he started out with. His plan was, Saul, you're the man. Because let me tell you, Saul stood head and shoulders, the Bible says, above everybody else. Somebody help me here. Saul, hey, by the way, the plan looked real good. I mean, we're talking about a king that carried himself well, head and shoulders above everybody else. Man, the plan looked good. How many's with me? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere good in a moment. Just stay with me. Just let me move into this. And the plan looked good. Man, it seemed like a flawless plan, didn't it? But I want you to know something. This plan fell through. And I want you to know something. There's some of you in this room. There's people I'm preaching to on TV right now. They had dreams. They had plans. They thought things were going to turn out differently in their life. And it just didn't happen. And their plans fell through. Now, let me give you three things by way of introduction. And this is the roughest part of the message because the last three things are the best part of this message. And I want you to stay tuned for all of them. What caused this plan to go down in the first place, Chad? I'll tell you what. Oh, it's easy. It's the same thing that causes all our plans to go wrong. That was conceit or pride. Amen? By the way, I want y'all to note something. It wasn't God's idea that this happened in the first place. The people clamored for a king. I had another sermon title I could preach on another day on this same sermon. Is, hey, when God's not enough. Here's what they said. God's not enough for us. We need a king to rule over us. Hey, in the first place, you know why they got in the plan in the first place? It's because they're stinking rotten pride. I wonder in this room today, how many of us have made a mess of it because of our stinking, rotten pride? Am I preaching? I want to say something to you. Our plans are never right unless God is the originator of our plans. See, disobedience in God will stop you and right in your tracks. But then number two, I notice a boy, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. You'll like this. Number two, I see pollution or corruption. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I'll tell you what happened. Saul was polluted. Saul was disobedient. Hey, when he was told to go down to the Amalekites, what was he told to do? Chad, what was he told to do? Chad Lewis, what was he told to do? Wipe them all out. Kill them all. Kill the sheep, kill the oxen, kill everything. When Samuel came to him and pointed his finger at him, he said, what's that bleeding of the sheep out here? He knew down in his heart he wasn't obedient. I'll tell you what will get you wrong, or get you right now, is disobedience to God. It says rebellion, and it says witchcraft. And God help us tonight. We all in on making plans, but we better trust God, and we better not pollute what God has for our life. Come on now. I want to say this. Listen, people, that's in this room tonight, wish your family would be here. It ain't your fault. They rebelled. You had plans. You love them all to be here. Somebody help me here. I mean, we know, but listen to me, friends, sometimes rebellion and sin upturns and overturns every good thought we had. Then thirdly, still introduction. There's a lot of confusion here and perplexity. And here's the message. I want you to get into this. Chapter 16, I want you to turn there and get ready to go with me. Here's what God done. He come to him. You know what happened, Chad? Samuel, when the plan didn't work, Nancy, he mourned. My Bible says that he cried all night. Y'all with me? I mean, he cried all night. And then, before we get to chapter 16, he's found crying again. Somebody help me here. You know what God is telling him in chapter 16? I've got a better plan. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put oil in your horn and move on. Sometimes in life, you got to quit mourning, quit weeping on what happened in the past, and get on with it and go on with your life. Amen. Am I preaching? This will help you tonight if you let it. Know this. God's got something better for you. Know this. Hey, God's not confused. Hey, God can turn a bad circumstance around and give you something great. Somebody help me preach. But I'll tell you, listen to this part of the message. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Some people just want to mourn. Some people don't ever want to get over it. You know what he's saying to him in chapter 16? Quit mourning. Look what it said. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn? Quit mourning. Now God gave him space to mourn. God gave him time to mourn. But there's a time to leave your mourning and leave your weeping and leave your crying and say, God, I'm ready to move on, not with my plan, but your plan. I don't mean to go on and on with this, but I think I'm gonna stay with this a moment. There's some people, every day of their life, they complain on what happened to them in life and how they was hurt. I want you to know something. I don't doubt that you have been, but it is time to move on. We're heading into 224. You cannot go into 224 mourning. You cannot go into their weeping. You can't go into their negative. You need to find God's plan and move into it. I'm doing all right. Let me illustrate that. See, just don't waller in it. You can get to the place you just waller into something you couldn't help in the first place. Hey, can you help somebody walking out on you? Can you help somebody who's a terrible husband or a terrible wife who's meaner than the devil and you just can't live with anymore? Can you help that? You can't. But you can't waller in it either. You got to move on. How many of you want the best from God this year? This coming year. Hallelujah. We need to march on to the promised land. That leads me to my illustration. Deuteronomy chapter 2. The children of Israel wandered 40 years, Brother Ron, in the wilderness. And here's what God said to them right before they were going in. You have compassed this mountain long enough. Hallelujah. That's some of you been going in circles and running in circles long enough and coming back to the same place long enough. It's time to move on. Am I preaching? You can sit here and wallow in your pity, wallow in your problems, wallow in your failures. But I want you to know we got a great God. Amen. Now, let me give you three thoughts, and I'll be done well before six. But man, I want you to get these three things. Get them real good. Write them down somewhere. God's plan, number one, is superior. Look at verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, chapter 16, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from bringing over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Well, you know how this tragedy all started? It started when they were looking for a king. But this time, God said, I'll provide the king. And I want y'all to know, somebody ought to raise your hand and shout that God is a God of second chances. He is not done with you. He loves you. He's a God of second chances. The Bible said about Jonah, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. I want you to know I'm glad that God's a God of grace, a God of restitution, a God of restoration, a God of mercy, a God of revival. I want y'all to know God's plan is superior. And by the way, when God says go, here's what you need to do. Go. And Samuel probably had this mind thought. Listen to this. He really did, because I'll show it to you in a moment. Samuel had this mind. He's thinking this way. Oh, it'll never be like it was. That's what the devil wants you to hear. Well, it'll never be the same. I'll never be able to love again. I'll never be able to laugh again. I'll never be able to preach again. I'll never be able to shout again. I'll never be able to feel God. It's just not going to be like it was. And I want to say something to you. It's not. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. Woo! See, God specializes in giving beauty from ashes. God specializes in giving praise for promises, problems. God specializes in giving joy for mourning. You say, boy, I've had other relationships and they flopped. But look what happened to you now. I don't know how, Brother McGrew. Well, I know how. You got her. Because you're a low-down hound. Say amen, brother. I want you to know something. Didn't been married before, had you? Had a relationship. Didn't work out. Didn't God give you one of best women in the world? And if you ever mess that up, I'm busting you right in the mouth. I mean, you say, but I'll never go forward. You don't know how bad it is. Oh, listen to me. God's got something better for you. Well, let me illustrate. Boy, this, I'm hurt. I'm moving. It's just hard to move when it's so good. Two chapters, 15, 16, 17. 10 years. Hey, by the way, let me give you a time frame. Chad, 10 years had passed in those two chapters. There was a Philistine. Oh, listen to this. That was blaspheming Israel in the Valley of Elah. I mean, he was cussing them and blaspheming them and getting down on them for 40 days. And everybody thought, it's over. And then, who had been anointed 10 years before, came out of the shepherd field, came down to the battlefield. I'm about ready to get happy. Got him a little sling and 5 stones and put that stones in that sling and boom, and busted that giant right in the head. And then went out and cut his head off and came walking, showing the whole children of Israel what he had done. I want you to know something. Hey, you may thought Saul was your plan, but David's your plan. God got a better plan. God got a superior plan. God's got a champion in your life. Am I helping y'all? Woo! I feel some preach tonight. Let me move on. I told you I'd move. Number 2. Look at verse 2. This is important. I'm closing soon, but this is important. This new plan, Brother Benny, this new plan, it requires sacrifice. Look at verse 2. And you know, see, Samuel had a dilemma. Well, how am I going down to the house of Jesse, Chad, with Saul mad, and me going down there with the intention of anointing a king? He's going to kill me. You know what God told him? Well, here's what I want you to do. Look at it. And Samuel said, how shall can I go if Saul hear it, and he will kill me? And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto me. Amen? What is that? What a statement. How can I go? We've got to sacrifice. Now hear me. See, there's many people. They want to go and they want God's plan, but they're not willing to sacrifice their plan for God's plan. I tell you what the problem is. You watch the internet. Watch Facebook when people post. You know what it is? It's always this. I this, I that. I want all y'all to know something. Wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell right now. And what we need to do is get off of my plan, what I want, and sacrifice and say, I'll do what God says. Is that all right? Am I preaching? Here's what I want you to look at. See, he said, sacrifice what you want for what he wants. Stop looking at things the way you would look at them, and look at them the way God looks at them. Am I preaching? And I want to tell you, let me give you a statement. Will y'all write this down? Somebody post this somewhere. Somebody do something with this. I got 2 statements I want you to, somebody do something with this. Many people, I got this wrote down, underlined, everything. Many people want to see God's plan as long as themselves are still the planner. Nope. Ain't going to work. You said, did Samuel do that? I'll prove Samuel done that. Look it down in verse number 6 and verse number 7. Y'all there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when Jesse's sons started coming before him, will come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Now listen why he said it. But the Lord said unto Samuel, not look on his countenance, or what? Or on his height or stature, because I've refused him. See, you picked one of the other, the last time that was tall and handsome and had broad shoulders. But this time it's different. You don't look at his height and his stature. You look on the heart. And God looks on the heart. And God said, no way. And by the way, that repeated 7 times. And every time Samuel said, that's him. That's the plan. That's the plan. And God said 7 times, nope, 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 no, no, no. Somebody help me here. Y'all getting anything out of this? Amen. Listen to this statement. You've heard it. The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. Amen. Look at verse 12. I want you to notice this. You look at his plan, and then look at verse 12. They called for David, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him. Now hold a minute. This boy don't look like, this boy does not look like he ought to be in anything. He's just a little red-headed, pimple-faced, 15 or 16-year-old. And that's the king. Somebody help me. And I want you to know something. There's only one way that you're going to please God. And that is, if you're not obedient, you will not please God. If you're not faithful, you will not please God. If you're not pure, you will not please God. If you're not holy, you will not please God. You won't please God without a church. You won't please God without a Bible. Hear me. Hear me. You will not be changed simply by effort, but you have to have exposure. I don't think they got that. Here's the reason you don't like that plan yet. Because you ain't been exposed to him enough. You know why some people hadn't really found the plan of God for their life? They only come to church on Sunday morning. How in the world? How in the world you going to get anywhere with God with that? You got to be exposed. Amen. Exposed to preaching. Exposed to great singing. Exposed to prayer. Yep. See, listen to me. Your effort is not enough. You've got to have exposure to the right plan. Did anybody in the church get that? Amen. Hey! You can work all you want, beat your head against the wall. If you're not exposed to God's plan, it's going to fail. Amen. Y'all know why I want y'all to hear this now, don't you? Oh, I'm preaching on, son. I'm going to obey what I told the rest of them. I'm preaching about obedience, so I'm going to quit before 6. Lastly, I want you to get this. Can I ask anybody a question? Can I ask the whole church a question? Anybody in here have the same problem that I have Now, I'm going to announce one of my faults. My wife tells me this fault all the time. You need to wait on God. Third point, God's plan requires a stand or at least sticking around. Look at verse number 11. I want you to see this. I'm done. I promise. Let's go ahead and get the pen. I'm finished. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. For we will not, what's it say? Set down till he come hither. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We shall stand here. And we're going to be patient. By the way, now, put yourself in Samuel's place. God told you to go down and anoint a king. You're sitting there on your feet, and seven of them pass by. And God said, nope, 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 all on the way to seven. And he's standing there. It would have been easy for him to say, man, I ain't standing any longer. I ain't sticking to it any longer. You know why some of you miss the plan of God for your life? You're not willing to wait on God and stand still. Because it'd take a little while for him to get from the wilderness and taking care of his sheep all the way down to have somebody help me preach. And I'll tell you what we're seeing all across the country. We've even seen it in our church. It's people, instead of waiting on God's best. Instead of waiting on God's best, they run out ahead of God and wouldn't wait. And they never found God's best. And I'm going to say something to young people. I want all the young people to hear this. Now, there's some of our young people maybe listening by way of live stream. I want to tell them, or y'all tell them to get this message, the last part. Don't go take your oil and anoint some jerk with it that 5 years later your marriage blows up.
Amen. Yeah, you're preaching.
Hey, don't you go get some girl in 5 years your whole thing blows up because you've done poured the oil and didn't wait for God's best. And by the way, when God's best comes and God's plan comes, you're going to know it. But here's the problem. I want you to come and pray tonight. How many of you know you've made some mistakes in life? I have. I'm going to admit, I have. I'm going to tell you every one of them. Every mistake I've made in life, Jared, was because I did not wait on God's deliverance and God's way. Jared's 40 years old now. He's got a young, beautiful, ambitious, humble, kind wife. I mean, she's top shelf, and I want you to know that. And he's had offers before. I mean, I put women up before him. And here's what he done. Nope. 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 He went through more women than I did stomach medicine, okay? I'm kidding. But you know what? You waited. You've got ladies getting ready to be a PhD. She studies biological bugs that kill you. You know, I've seen Jared walk in church. Sometimes, you know what? I saw him come in church lonely, a little depressed, because he didn't have anybody. Oh, the staff has somebody. He didn't. He could have just said, I'll anoint the first one that comes. And you miss the best. Am I preaching, Chad? Let me ask you, how many of you have made mistakes because you did not wait on God? And your pastor's admitting this. I wonder how many of you say, preacher, my plans hadn't always panned out. But I do know God's faithful and gave me a new one. And I wonder how many on the last night of the year would come around this altar and just say, God, I don't want my plan. I don't want to have anything in it. But I will be obedient to your plan. And I'll give myself to your plan. Would you do it on the last day of the year? Stand. I pray you come. Our Father, we love you. Help folk just step out of their seat. Come around, Lord. Our Father, right now, touch the altar call. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.